Join us now for an encouraging word from our executive pastor, Clint DeGroot. Here's the message.
Day in and day out, fight for our freedom here and abroad. And I want to ask, if you have served or you are currently serving, would you please stand? And would you give them a round of applause? Can we just go to the Lord in prayer? And can we pray for the armed forces all around our world? And can we thank them publicly in Jesus' name? Heavenly Father, God, we ask that you be with every family that is lost. Father, if it's been weeks or many years, God, I pray that the peace of God would comfort every single person. Father, on this weekend, and Lord, not just this weekend, but every day, may your Holy Spirit bring peace. And Father, we thank you for the men and women, and we pray, God, for your protection over them, for the ones that are in harm's way, God, right now in this very moment. Lord Jesus, may you put a hedge of protection around them. Angels north, south, east, and west, God, we just plead the blood over every man and every woman that is fighting for our country. We pray it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody in the house prayed and said, amen. Amen. See, this morning I go to this verse in John chapter 15 because it's appropriate. And I think it's even more appropriate to remember the sacrifice on this weekend of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know that you're thinking, well, this is not the first Sunday of the month, so why do we have communion laid before us? Because this Memorial Day weekend, we celebrate and we remember the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus. His words, not mine, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Isn't it awesome? As he's speaking to his disciples, he calls them friend. Isn't it awesome that he speaks of you and I today as friends, that he would go and lay down his life for his friends? Look at your neighbor and say, hey, friend. If you don't know him, it's still awkward, but go ahead and look at him and say, what's up, friend? Jesus calls us his friend. And I want to focus on one concept, and I'm going to be brief today. How many of you can say amen? Amen. You said it a little bit too willingly. You said it with a little bit too much fervor. You should want a little bit more. But I want to be brief because I want to do one thing and one thing only. I want to talk about the willingness of Christ. If you look at his love, one of the biggest concepts around his love is his willingness to give himself up. He laid down his life for us. They did not take his life. They did not kill our Savior. He willingly gave of himself. Turn with me to John chapter 10, where we find our scripture verses today, verses 11 through 18. John chapter 10, verse 11, is where we'll start. Say amen if you're there. Say hold up if you're not. Get a good internet connection for your phone. Verse 11 says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. That's you. That's me. That's the Gentiles. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life. only to take it up again. Aren't you glad about that? No one takes it from me. This is Jesus. This is bad. This is like movie quality words here. He says, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. We serve a Savior that's not weak. Amen? He is bold. He is bad. He's Jesus. Don't get cross with Jesus. I lay down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Five times in these few verses, Jesus says, I'm willingly laying down my life to give up my life for the salvation of sinners. Look at your neighbor and say, you were a friend, but now you are a sinner. You are evil, according to our pastor, and you must be destroyed. You say okay because you know it's true. So, repeatedly you hear Jesus stress how he lays his life down for the sheep. The sheep are who? The sheep are you. The sheep are me. We are the sheep. That is his love. That is the reason in which he is going to the cross. So Jesus is willing service. Let us meditate this morning on just his willingness to go. His willingness to go to the cross for you and for me. When we meditate upon the willingness of God, it moves us to be willing ourselves. I think you can see a little bit of the foreshadowing in the Old Testament through Jesus and foreshadowing what Jesus would be like. You can see it in the animal sacrifices. You can see John said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now, I guarantee that every animal going to the slaughter was not saying, pick me. Pick me. I'd love to go for my flock. I'd love to go. I'd love to be the spotless lamb that is slain on the altar. Not one would go willingly. You look at the life of Joseph, another foreshadowing of Christ. Joseph, his brothers threw him into what? A pit to die. The oldest brother rescued him, but sold them into slavery. And so he goes to Potiphar's house, and in that, he is falsely accused of sleeping with Potiphar's wife, thrown into the dungeon. Now, I don't think for one second that Joseph desired this path to glory. Not for one second was he like, man, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to go to prison. I'm willing to be thrown in the pit. Yes, throw me in the pit. I would love to be a pit dweller. It's what I want to do. Thank you, Potiphar's wife, for falsely accusing me of sleeping with you. This is great. I love prison. I want to go and minister. No. He went through all the suffering. It was a foreshadowing of what would happen when Jesus was exalted. But here's the difference between Joseph and Jesus. Jesus willingly knew where he was going. One knew, one didn't. What about David, the life of David? David had a dilemma. His king wanted him dead. He chased him from cave to cave. I'm sure that David did not desire to die at the hand of his king. Can you imagine if you had that boss? How many of you have that boss? Don't raise your hand. There's something about Jesus, Christ's willingness to go, Christ's willingness to lay it down. Greater love have no one than this, than one man would lay down his life for one's friend. Lay down. Think of Christ. He actually chose and willingly gave himself up to every detail of his life ministry and suffering as a Savior. We have a prophecy of the Messiah's willingness to come to be the Savior of sinners, the Savior of all mankind, that not one should perish. It says in Psalms chapter 40, verse 7 and 8, it says, then say I, lo, I come. In the volume of this book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yes, thy law is within my heart. Jesus knew that he was going to die. He knew that he would come to be the Savior of the world. And he continued to step forward day after day after day towards that cross. The willingness of Jesus should cause us to lay our own lives down. Can I get an amen? Galatians 4 says, thus Jesus willingly came in the fullness of time, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Man, there is something powerful. He submitted himself in every single way. The first 30 years of his life, as the half-brother, they didn't like Jesus, right? Thought he was a little odd, but he submitted himself to even his earthly stepdad. Became a carpenter's apprentice and hammered on houses day after day. Worked himself, made some good money, probably in the house industry. But Jesus was willing to submit. In his public ministry, he came the time for Jesus to actively begin his public ministry as Savior. He began to lay down his life the first moment he stepped into his mantle. Several times in the gospel, Jesus foretells his disciples of all the suffering that would soon be coming in a cruel and climactic way by the cross. The disciples didn't understand what Jesus all meant, and through the sufferings would be most terrible and bring heart-ending anguish in the body and soul. We think about Jesus' death, what he went through physically. Physically alone, you think about what Jesus went through. Knowing that he's about to get the cat of nine tails across his back. How many of you saw The Passion of the Christ? I never did. But the one moment I used it for a clip when I was a youth pastor, my wife was in the other room. I don't think we even had kids yet. And I turn it on. I'm fast forwarding. And this is fast forwarding. Remember? How many of you remember what that is? Be kind and rewind. Remember that statement? Blockbuster. Videos to go. Anybody? Yeah. If you got stock in that, I'm sorry. But I can remember, I push play, and it's at the scene of when he was being whipped. And it forever etched in my mind the image. And I'm for certain that it doesn't even do justice to what truly happened on that day. I'm bawling at the top of my lungs, and Casey walks into our room. We were living in Bay Colony at the time, first year of that house. She walks in, and she's like, is everything okay? I'm like, get out, get out. You don't want to see this. He suffered. But he suffered willingly. He willingly went through that suffering for you and for me. In Luke chapter 9, verse 51, he's about to go through this. It says, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, knowing that people were going to come and get him, knowing that his demise, his time had come, knowing that physically, emotionally, and spiritually, he would take upon himself the weight of the entire world, past, present, and future. I think it explains why Jesus, when he spoke in a loud voice in Luke chapter 4, and the people got so angry, they took him up to a cliff to throw him off, right? And the Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 28 through 30, all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of town, took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. 30, I like this. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. It wasn't his time. Jesus said, I have the authority to take my life in my own hands. I'll lay it down and I'll take it up. And so he willingly is going to Jerusalem to find the will of God. Consider another proof of Jesus' willingness, giving himself up to even death on a cross. Think about the garden. The Garden of Gethsemane, it's a three-part prayer that takes more time than we can read it. Hours, the disciples fall asleep. But it's recorded in Matthew chapter 26. Turn with me. Matthew chapter 26. the humanity of Jesus, the wherewithal of Jesus, the strength of Jesus, the weakness of Jesus is found in this prayer. It's beautiful the way he goes to his Father. 26. You'll look at verse 39. Say amen if you're there. This is going a little further. He fell on his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Verse 40, "But then he returned to the disciples, found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Having went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it's not possible," catch, "if it's possible, take this cup from me, but not your will, but not my will, but yours be done." This time he says, "My Father, if it's not possible for this cup to pass, to be taken away from me, unless I drink it, may your will be done." Jesus willingly saying to his Father, "Look, I don't want this cup, but not my will, yours be done." He comes back and he knows the will. "God, if it's not possible for me to pass this, your will be done." I think in that moment, and this is what I believe, and I'm not a theologian, but I believe in that moment, that second prayer, Jesus saw your face. I believe it with all my heart that Jesus, in his deity, could see the men and the women, the young boys and girls that would need that moment, that would need that cup to be taken by him and him alone. The perfect lamb that takes away the sins of the world. The willing Savior that would go for you and for me. He saw me in that garden. And it said, "Not my will, but yours be done." He gave himself up at the suffering. He gave himself up. We read, then Jesus responded in Matthew chapter 26, verse 52. The apostle Peter, how many of you got a little bit of the apostle Peter in your life where someone's going to rise up against Jesus, you're going to just strike them? How many, that's your first move? That's your knee-jerk reaction? I'm going to hit first, ask questions later. Not literally, but figuratively. Now, he literally takes his sword out and chops at the guard, cuts his ear off. Dude, that's the guy I want on my team. You always need that friend, right? They may go to jail, but you need that friend on your side. Matthew 26, Jesus says, "Put your sword back in its place." Jesus said to him, "For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father?" Listen. "Do you not think I can call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" In this moment, I could stop everything. I could destroy anybody against me in this moment. But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way? Our Jesus in this moment knew where he was going, but willingly said, "I will go. I will go. I will lay down my life for my friends." You see, you hear these words, and surely Jesus gave himself willingly all the time in his work as the Savior of the world. Even in the horrible, cursed crucifixion on the cross at Golgotha, from the false testimony that was against him, the mock trials, the plucking of his beard, the whipping of his back, the crown of thorns that looks very neat in pictures but went down into his skull, through all of that, he willingly said, "I will still take up my cross and I'll go to Golgotha and I'll save the world." Standing on trial with Barabbas, a known terrorist of his time, the crowd turning their back on Jesus and saying, "Let Barabbas go," he was still willing to go for you and for me. On the cross of Calvary, says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Are you kidding me? We serve a Savior that was willing from the beginning to the end to go to bat for you and for me. See, most kings would send out their men to battle, to fight for the nation. But our king said, you go back home and I'll go to the battlefield for you. And I'll go to the cross and I'll take your punishment and I'll take your place and I will lay down my life willingly so that you might have life. And when I pick it back up, you're going to have yours too. I love this because at the end of his life, at the end of the cross, the Bible is very, very clear on how he dies. In Matthew chapter 27, we find in verse 45 through 53, it says, from noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. At about 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, the same loud voice that he cried out in Luke chapter 4. My God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran up and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. When Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, meaning that there is now direct relationship with God the Father and people. Was not separated anymore. That moment, the temple was torn. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life just by this man's willing sacrifice. They came out of their tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Now that would be something to talk about. In John chapter 19, we find it a little bit different. He said, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And I love the way it's written here because I think it gives us some insight to the willingness of Christ. For most, they would breathe their last breath and then bow their head. They would give up the spirit, the ghost, the soul would, the body would give up the spirit, and then the head would bow. But Jesus bowed his head and then gave up his spirit. Another show of the willingness, love of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 15, verse 44, Pilate marveled that he, Jesus, was already dead. Said that he wanted verification and that from the Roman centurion before giving permission to Joseph to take the body for burial as he requested. So it was interesting that Pilate was like, he's already dead? It usually takes a lot longer. Jesus, I love Jesus. He's all about, let's do the Father's will. Let's do the work. I came here to die, so I'm going to give up my spirit. I'm not going to wait around for this now. I'm going to give it up now. Paul was like, I want to make sure he's dead. Another clue of the willingness of Jesus. Just focusing a little on the gospel fact that Jesus willingly gave himself in all of his sufferings, even to death on a cross, should cause us to rise up on this Memorial Day. And not just rise up, but lay down. If Jesus laid down his life for us, shouldn't we lay down ours for others? So as our ushers are preparing to get ready for communion today, I'm going to invite Renee to get on the keys. I want you to marvel. I want you to remember. I want you to think about not just the sacrifice of Jesus, but I want you to think about the willingness of Jesus. His willingness to go, to suffer, to move on your behalf, on my behalf, that we might have life and life more abundantly. that we might have life in the here and now and after. That eternity would start in that moment. The dead rose in the moment that he gave up his spirit. The dead rose. The dead places in our life, when we reflect upon the willingness of God, the dead places of faith, the dead places of our dreams should rise out of these tombs. And we should willingly walk to the place of laying down our lives for the ones that we love. Greater love have no one than this, that a man would lay down his life, willingly lay down his life for a friend. But here's the last thought. Jesus didn't just lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for his friends and for his enemies. This is how we know he loved. Romans 5:8, that while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies of God, Christ willingly went to the cross. On this Memorial Day, think about the willingness that you would have to lay it down for your son, for your daughter, for your husband, for your wife. I think we could all say, I'd do that. But what about the person that hates you? What about the person that you don't even know? That's the willingness of Jesus that I want to focus on. And that's the willingness of Jesus that I need more in my own life. As we remember this day, his sacrifice, may we remember that we are to be just like him.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now shall soon dissolve like snow.
Corinthians, we find scriptural basis for taking communion together as a family, taking communion as a church. It says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Take your bread and break it. Heavenly Father, you willingly went to the cross to have your body broken. And Father, today, we know by that broken body, we have healing in ours. So I declare, Lord Jesus, over every sick person here today, over the uncertainty of tests that are being run, Lord, I declare that your body being broken, the stripes upon your back for their healing. So we walk in that today as we remember. In Jesus' name, let's take the bread. Verse 25 picks up and it says, "And saying, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This is something that we do over and over and over again. And we will continue to do this right here until our Lord Jesus comes back. And soon and very soon, he'll split the sky wide open. Let us pray. You shed willingly on that cross so many years ago. It's that blood that forever, for all eternity, will cover our sin, our shortcoming, our failures. And we are the righteousness of God because of it. So, Father, we remember and give thanks. And everybody prayed and said, let us take. Would you stand and can we sing, "My Chains Are Gone"?
My chains are gone, I've been set.
Said this, "It was not the nails that put Jesus on the cross and held him there unto death, but it was the strength of Jesus, love to the Father, and to his elect people. People, sinners like you and like me, which held him to the cross. Have you grasped this amazing love of God in Christ Jesus? And is your mind and heart gripped and guided by the precious truth about Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners? I end with one verse that I hope takes you into tomorrow, the next day, your next week, maybe your next month. 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is what? Love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. And this world sees God in and through everything that we do. Heavenly Father, may we be willing to love. May we be willing to lay down our lives for our friends. May we love in such a way that this world would see not us, but you. May they see your light in us and glorify you because of us. We pray that in the mighty name of Jesus, the strong name of Christ. And I bless you, and everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll see you back next week.
This concludes the message. For prayer or more information, email prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call 281-554-3600. Thank you for listening.